Caitlin Bristow hosts the hilarious, relatable, always honest, kind of feels like you're hanging out with your best friends podcast Off the Vine every Tuesday and Thursday. Tuesday episodes are interviews with guests like Wells Adams, Rachel Lindsay, Nikki Glasser, and Lisa Vanderpump to talk about everything from career to relationships to mental health. Thursday's episodes are called Grape Therapy, which are sometimes bachelor recaps, sometimes giving advice and hearing from listeners on the Vine hotline, or sometimes just catching up with a friend. Listen to Off the Vine with Caitlin Bristow wherever you get your podcast. We've all been there. You have a question about your credit card. You call the number for help and can't get a hold of anyone. If only you had a Discover card. With 24/7 US-based live customer service from Discover, everyone has the option to talk to a real person anytime, day or night. Yep, you heard that right. A real person. Get the customer service you deserve with Discover. Limitations apply. See terms at discover.com/credit card. All right, y'all, things are about to get intense. Like, we're staring into the eyes of our lifelong crush for a minute straight, intense. Intense heat, lasting plump from the hot new Lifter Plump from Maybelline, New York. It's formulated with chili pepper, delivers a heated sensation for an instant lip plumping effect that lasts. It's available in 8 sizzling shades. My favorite I've been wearing the past few days is the Blush Blaze. Y'all, this color is beautiful. But when I say the sensation is intense, it is. It feels like, in the best way possible, you rubbed a jalapeno all over your lips. So if you love that sensation, you are going to love this. Can you take the heat? Find your shade at Maybelline.com or a retailer near you. Amazon shoppers get 10% off Lifter Plump purchase with code 10PLUMP for a limited time. Seriously, y'all, like, this color is beautiful and the heat is piping. Hi, I'm Hannah Brown and welcome to Better Tomorrow. My absolute favorite thing to do is have a heart-to-heart talk with my new friends and my best friends, where we sit down and talk about all the things like relationships and love, faith and self-care. And of course, the little things as well, like the struggle to figure out what to eat tonight. All in all, I really want to ask, how am I better today than yesterday? And bring artists, entrepreneurs, and friends along on the journey. So join me on the journey, will you? Cameron, I'm so excited to have you here today on Better Tomorrow.
I'm excited to talk with you as always. And now it's in reverse. Normally I'm interviewing you. So this time you are all in control and I'm excited. I think this is maybe the first time I've done this in a while.
No, I'm so excited. And I was thinking about that too, because I've had the privilege to be on the Tamron Hall show and it's kind of weird being able to like be the person to interview you because you are the expert in this, but I'm excited to have the opportunity to talk about all the things that you have going on, especially your new book that's coming out. This is coming out the day after.
Yeah.
You guys will be able to see this in stores, but watch where it's they hide.
It's right now, released March 12th, and now it's red hot. Get them while they're available.
I am so excited to get into that, but I first want to just kind of go back a little bit to your beginning of how you got into journalism and what made you decide to choose this as a career for yourself? Was this always the dream?
Yeah. Well, you know, I have to tell you, I grew up in Texas, I think, as you know, and early on in my life, I was always very curious about people, and in a way that got me in trouble because I was precocious and I'd ask a lot of questions that kids, I guess, wouldn't ask, but I wanted to know. I was much a talkative kid, surprise, surprise, but one that, you know, I preferred the company of my older cousins, and the older people in my grandpa's neighborhood in particular stood out because he lived on just a classic small town street where everyone knew each other. And a lot of the population, by the time I'd come around, they were aging. And I was just curious about their lives. And I was a kid who could stare at black and white photos for hours and just want to know more. And for me, I can't think of another career that ever crossed my mind. I ran track for many, many years. And toward my late high school years, just wasn't as fast as my competitors. I'd always been the fastest, and life kind of, no pun intended, caught up with me. And so my Olympic dreams were not meant to be, but I started to just explore reporting. And other than this, I got to tell you, I've thought long and hard about it. And it would either be a blackjack dealer or something like that in Vegas. I don't even know how to play cards, right? That's the thing. I play Connect Four. I'm a master at Connect Four. But it's almost like, and I feel weird saying this, but it's almost like people who feel like preaching is a calling, you know, it is a calling for them. For me, this was a calling. I love being around people. I love talking to people. I love the exchange of your story and my story. And just, it's so steeped into who I am as a person that I'm fortunate that I'm able to do this job.
Well, you do a very good job at it. I feel like you really are. I feel like you have just a wide range of being able to handle different types of conversations. And I know, like I said, personally been able to see that, but I feel like journalism is a tough career path to go on. Like, what was the hardest thing in pursuing this career?
You know what? Honestly, I am at such a heightened level of perspective for my life, right? Right now I'm 53 and I've always had, I think, reasonable perspective. So I thought in my 20s and my 30s, but now I really have a heightened level of perspective on life. But very early on, to answer your question, you know, my grandfather couldn't read for a living, right? Mm-hmm. And I could not read at all. And I make my living with words that he couldn't read. And my mom was a 19-year-old single mom. She later married my father who raised me, the father God meant for me to have, who was in the military and was a great dad. But I always had people around me who gave me perspective that this job, while it is challenging in some ways, there are so many harder things, mm-hmm. you know? And I'm very fortunate to have been raised by people who, they didn't beat it down. My family, we don't do that. Like, it could be worse, it could be better. We're not that family, because my reply as a child would be like, well, I want the better side of that. So I don't fall for the, it could be worse, it could be better, because we could do that all day. That's that whataboutism. But they gave me great perspective in how do we define hard? What do we define as challenging? And when I talk to young women in particular who are entering this business, I tell them, if you're always looking at the roadblock or the bump, you can never see the road. Just like you in your life, you know? And if we, and so I always, and that's not me pivoting out of answering that question, but that's me saying, if anything we want in this world is limited by the bumps in the road, the roadblocks, we're never going to get to our destination. And we have great things to accomplish.
I love that. Where did that, I feel like that's a real belief in yourself to be able to have that. And I feel like that can be really hard to possess for a lot of people because of the bumps in the road, maybe the circumstances that you grew up in. Like, who instilled that in you? Or do you just feel like you've always kind of had that internally?
I think it's evolving, right? Part of, again, where I am in my life is recognizing that, for example, self-confidence, it's not a destination. You, one day you feel confident, the next day you don't. Self-esteem, worthy, you know, we've been talking a lot about, you know, worth, right? I'm worthy of this. Some days I don't feel like, oh my gosh, you know, it's, we make life in so many ways, this endpoint of goals, right? You know, I'm going to be confident and forever and a day, I'm going to be confident, or I'm going to, you know, the adage of, and it is true, we say things to ourselves that we wouldn't say to other people, right? I'm this, I'm that. And we beat ourselves down. But, you know, on our best days, we shouldn't do it. But there are still days it seeps in, right? That we get distracted. And so for me, again, to answer your question as honestly as I can, it's a daily progress. It's like a daily process. Some of the things I'm saying right now, I might not have even believed 5 minutes ago. Mm-hmm. You just have, it's a constant, you know, as a control alt delete back in the day, you'd reset the computer. You know, I look at life as a constant ability to control alt delete that bad thought, control alt delete that you know, self-esteem road bump that you hit, but it doesn't mean it completely wipes it away like a computer. It's there and you're going to deal with it. And I'm not a buckle up buttercup kind of, no, I'm not like that, because mm-hmm. I know that there are days that I'm in the same seat that we're talking right now as confidently as I'm hopefully projecting myself to you, that I've cried.
Yeah. I feel like what you're saying is it's kind of like a choice every day to decide, like, you know, I'm feeling this feeling right now. And you're not saying that you have to like push that aside. You can actually feel it, but like, what's your next step and how are you going to choose to get back up on the horse or decide to do it a little bit differently?
And yeah. And that's life. That is life. And I feel, you know, and I know a lot of people dump on social media and there's a place for that, but there's also a lot of good that comes out of it as well. And I think some of the empowering things that I see on social media from young women in particular, some of the entrepreneurial spirit that comes out of it as well. I mean, so many businesses have been started just like on social media, for someone saying, I do this, and they start the business and they take off, you know. I just, the pressure to get it right and to have the complete answers all the time is exhausting. You know, it's exhausting. Yeah. It's a journey. I write down little words and I, you know, smile is a big one for me. So when you walk in my home, I have this big neon art piece and it says smile. And I judge people if they, so you just smile. I said the word smile. That's my judgment, right? That I don't judge people on any other thing other than if you hear the word smile and you don't smile, not someone saying, hey, honey, smile. No, not that thing, you know, but just smile. And so I will sometimes for myself, I'll just jot down in the middle of a show. Sometimes I'll just jot down the word smile if I'm not feeling it. And those words of affirmation, the intention of wanting to smile, the desire to want to smile will take over your body. And that's what I like about those things.
Oh my gosh. I have right behind me, I have this big board of like things that I hear or, you know, pictures that I see that inspire me. I'm about to write after this, I'm putting a big sign that says smile, because I mean, I watched that actually happen with myself. And yeah, like those constant reminders around you that can like change your perspective so that you can go after the things.
Right. And that's what I mean about the road bump, right? Yeah. Focusing on the road bump changes your perspective when your eye should be on this great life, this road that you have an opportunity to get on and pursue the things that you desire.
Absolutely. I love that. I can't remember when you joined the Today Show, because I watch the Today Show every single morning. So I remember when you were like added in, and my mom and I were obsessed with you, because I said like I wore bright colors today because we love the way like your vibrancy that you brought to that whole ensemble. And of course, like you're so talented, but like there was just like a light about you. And like literally my mom would call me when I went to college and you were on the show and she'd be like, did you see what Tamron was wearing
today? Meanwhile, I'm in a muted tone today. I'm all boring today. I got to go get my kid from school. I'm in a boring outfit today.
No, but like you brought something like so different. Of course, like making history on that show, but also just like this brightness like for people like me who watched every day. So it's been so cool. Like I don't think you understand, like me being able to like go onto your show and then like be able to have you on here, like y'all were my like people that I was obsessed with, because that's what I watched every single morning.
And I was the same way, so that's why it was such a big deal, you know. I remember the first time I saw Katie Kirk on, and they were outside in the plaza and she turned around and told somebody, chill out. And I was like, oh my God, a news anchor who sounds modern. And she was like, you know, her short pixie cut, all of that. And it was so refreshing. So for me, when I got on the show, like you, I was like a fan being let in the room. I couldn't believe it. I was truly and am truly, you know, a fan of morning TV. I tell people it's such an intimate form of communicating, because in most cases I'm at home and you're in your pajamas, your hair is a mess, you're brushing your teeth, you're finding your kids' pants. And, you know, it is the most hectic and vulnerable part of your day in the morning. That's why when you're dating, you know, we've talked, you wake up in the morning, that's the most vulnerable time that that person is going to see you. And that's when you know it's real. The breath, the this, the that, all the other things that are not perfect in the morning. And so for daytime, morning TV, I should say, I've always loved morning TV because it is an opportunity although I can't see you obviously from the TV, I know that it's the most vulnerable part of your day. It's the most insecure a lot of times because now you're looking at your schedule. You're thinking about all the things you have to get done and you're out of sorts. And now I get a chance to be in your home and hopefully make you smile, mm-hmm. make you feel a little bit better, give you some information on your day, you know, whatever it is. So it's it was surreal. And that was like a great moment of accomplishment to be part of that.
Yeah. I mean, you're the first voice I sometimes heard in the morning and like, yeah, it's such a, like, I feel like a pinnacle of like a lot of people's career.
Yeah.
How did you feel in it? Like, was there ever like times where you felt like that imposter syndrome come through or like fear because everybody wants that job?
Yeah, I did toward the, you know, toward the middle of this. I was there about 10 years under the MSNBC and NBC umbrella. I think maybe the last couple of years, because it's an ensemble, right? Mm-hmm. And you are there communicating in this beautiful melodic way with a group of people. But that said, you're under the news umbrella and you're not allowed to be your self, right? And that's why this book that I've written, Watch Where They Hide, Jordan Manning is inspired by my career. You know, she's a forensic scientist turned journalist who's solving crime. Two of those things I've not done. I've not solved any crime. I'm not a forensic scientist. But I wanted the reader to see what it was like for me in many ways in the newsroom. So she is inspired by me, not the total sum, but there are moments to your direct question of imposter syndrome that you see Jordan feel because she wants to do more than report. She wants to get involved in solving these crimes. My imposter syndrome was more, I laugh out loud. I laugh loud, you know? Mm-hmm. And there were times that some people would write and say, your laugh is too loud. You know, and I'm like, what?
I loved you because you laughed for yourself.
Yeah. Or even, you know, thank you for the compliment about, you know, the way I dress. I had people occasionally write, you know, that, you know, too bright, too loud, too many patterns, too short. You know, you're over 40. That dress is too short. And you know, you read these things and the instinct is to go, screw you, I'm who I am. But you go home and suddenly you're like, oh, am I too loud? Wait a minute, was that top too loud? And oh gosh, you know, well, maybe they're right, right? Right. You hear it once, you hear it twice, like maybe they're right. And what I started to realize is that, you know, a show like the Today Show or a network morning show, it has a beat, right? It has this kind of lo-fi beat, right? It's just like, yeah. It's smooth. And so maybe I was a little loud for that drum beat. Maybe my clothes were a little too bright for that, but that doesn't mean, and it didn't mean they didn't fit into somewhere else. Yes. That said, the majority of feedback that I got from our viewers, over the top supportive. And, you know, I'd walk around and people was like, I love you on the Today Show. So that's why when I left the show under those circumstances, I honestly, I'll tell you that I left on a Tuesday, no idea that I wasn't coming back. It was a very abrupt breakup, if you will. And the next morning when I was trending across the nation and people were furious that I wasn't coming back and that I never said goodbye, right? I never got a chance to even say mm-hmm. that I was leaving. It was just like done. And I wasn't upset about it, even under those circumstances, believe it or not, I wasn't upset. I was deeply inspired and encouraged that people went online and expressed their views, some more harshly than others. But at the end of the day, it was, I have a place in TV mm-hmm. in my authentic form.
Yeah.
In my loud laugh, in my constantly crying when someone tells me about their journey, you know, they call them Tamron tears because I can't save my life, that it has a place. And unbeknownst to me, it would have a place in two ways, right? It has a place in my own daytime talk show now, five seasons in. When I won an Emmy the first season, I was like, they must have messed up. Who voted that? You know, it's all still very surreal, but the person that I am in my authentic way had a place. Mm-hmm. It wasn't there. I just never could have imagined it was going to be a daytime talk show.
This show is sponsored by BetterHelp. How is your social battery right now? Because mine has been a little drained. I feel like it's because, honestly, this weather here in Nashville, I feel like I haven't seen the sun that much. And I'm just needing a little bit more time outside, some more walks, just being more social, not just as cooped up. And it can be easy to ignore our social battery and spread ourselves thin, especially with social gatherings picking up after the winter. What's the right amount of socializing for you and how do you recharge? For me, I actually need to be a little bit more social. So I get excited and then can overwhelm myself a little bit too much with all the plans that I've had. But maybe you need a little bit less time and need some time to yourself to recharge. Therapy can give you the self-awareness to build a social life that doesn't drain your battery. If you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online, designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. Just fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist and switch therapists anytime for no additional charge. Find your social sweet spot with BetterHelp. Visit betterhelp.com/tomorrow today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/tomorrow. There have been many times in my life where I really thought I could trust my gut, but I definitely shouldn't have. Definitely with a lot of those exes in the past, when it comes to that low fuel flashing light on my car, I just always think that it's not really serious. Trust me, it is. I've been on the side of the road way too many times. Probiotics can't help with most of your gut decisions, but if your gut needs a little support, Ritual has your back. Ritual has made a 3-in-1 supplement with clinically studied prebiotics, probiotics, and a postbiotic to support a balanced gut microbiome, all in one minty capsule and no refrigeration needed. I love my Symbiotic Plus. I take it every day. It's great because it's got all the biotics in it for my probiotic. I feel like it's just really helping my gut in all the ways. And actually, Ritual even invested in a study modeling the human colon, which showed that Symbiotic Plus significantly increased the microbial diversity and the growth of beneficial bacteria. We love that. We love when the thing's actually doing the work that we need it to for our gut. Get 25% off your first month for a limited time at ritual.com/Hannah B. Start Ritual or add Symbiotic Plus to your subscription today. That's ritual.com/Hannah B for 25% off. Peloton helps you start no matter what level you're at. Wherever you're starting, there's thousands of classes to get you moving. Whether that's beginner advanced rides, feel good DJ rides, or artist theme rides, they've got something for you. Peloton bike instructors keep you motivated from day one. They'll show you the basics, help take the guesswork out of your workout, and encourage you to build from there. Peloton entertainment keeps you moving. Watch your favorite TV shows and live sports as you ride, perfect for those days when you don't want to miss a thing. I love my Peloton bike. I've had one since 2020, and I feel like it really got me through some of those dark days and kept me active. I love the instructors. They get me so hype when they have like awesome, awesome soundtracks that really just keep the fun, the excitement up as we're sweating it out and getting better every day. Wherever you're starting, get moving with Peloton Bike or Bike Plus Rental at www.onepeloton.com/bike/rentals. Terms apply. One thing my therapist has been, we've talked about recently for me, and one of her things that she said to me that's really stuck with me is you can't stand out and fit in at the same time.
You cannot. She's right. She's right.
And there's a part of us that wants to belong. And sometimes we'll put on masks to be able to be in the thing that we think we're supposed to be in, you know? And it's like, oh, okay, so I'm not supposed to be this way. Yeah. But that is not allowing you. That's just you're trying to fit in with that.
I'll tell you, I've never told anybody this, Hannah. I don't know when it happened, but I have a dear, dear friend, Johnny Wright. He's my hairstylist. He's been my hairstylist for 25 years. And so, you know, you get to know your hairstylist. Mm-hmm. And he said to me one day, I don't like you on that show. And I said, why? He said, because that's not you. He said, that's not the you at home, right? He was like, you are so curious about people. You like to, you know, and he's like, those segments are too short. They're not, he's like, I can tell it's not you. Yeah. And it was weird to hear because again, I thought I was doing a great job and people say I'm doing great. And I've been able to, the TAM fam that exists today started on the Today Show, right? So the people who love me,
raise my hand. Yeah.
But what he was saying really was that the format of just quick interview, move on, was not me. That he felt that I shined and that I was more connected in a more comfortable, like, sit down environment, which is why when we did the show, even when you were on, I tell people, I want folks to come on who are going to talk, you know, I want to have a conversation just like we're having now versus compartmentalized. But yeah, it was a big moment in my career to get that. And then to be able to rebound and reset, control, alt, delete, and say, okay, I can't be a part and try to fit in and try to also have an individual impact. And when I was creating my daytime talk show, as more than a few people told me, you got to do it this way, you got it. And they were just giving me a template of how everyone else had done it. And I was determined that was not going to happen. And I had to find my power and my purpose.
I would say the Tamron Hall Show really separates itself from, like, a lot of other daytime talk shows because of the diverse conversations that you have and the guests that you have on. So what was and what is your vision for the show?
Honestly, I've said it with my friends, and I'll say it because I think of us as friends. It's two mimosas in when everybody has, you've ordered what you want to eat. And, you know, because that when you go to brunch, it's like, okay, there's 20 minutes of everybody looking over the menu and debating, do we want the rolls or do we want the pancakes? But you've ordered your food, your two mimosas in. The people that you really don't like have gone because there's always one friend who invites somebody that everyone's like, who's that? Why'd you bring that person? That person's gone and your true core of people are there and you're able to really take off the masks and have a conversation. And so that's the show, right? That's the feel of the show. That's my prayer for the show is that I don't care who you are, what race, what gender, where you're from, that you feel like I can connect to this vibe. Every topic is not going to hit home. You're not going to end every show going, yes, Tamron Hall, yeah, you know, no. But it's a relationship. Mm-hmm. And so the goal of the show from the day it launched in 2019 to now 5 seasons in is a relationship. And it's a relationship that you are able to have even with me being in a whole different room.
Totally. That was kind of goes to my next question about, I feel like knowing how to create a space for people to feel they can be vulnerable is a skill that is really important for us for creating connections.
Yeah.
And even more so, like, for your career. So, like, what are some big lessons that you've learned in your career that has helped you be able to create that space for people to connect and invite in those vulnerable conversations that, like, you could tell other people maybe don't have a talk show, but are wanting to be able to be a person or provide a space for, to create that type of,
you know, I learned that, I'll be honest with you. I learned that lesson in many ways, but one in particular that, set me on a journey that I never expected was after the death of my sister. I've talked publicly about my sister being the victim of an unsolved crime, but also enduring domestic violence in her life. And I didn't know how to talk to her about it. And, you know, me and family members thought, you know, tough love, you could, you know, you can get out of this. You're stronger than this. You're better than this. All those things that you think are helping and inspiring people sometimes puts them in a box of fear. And so for me, looking back at that relationship and looking at the work that I do with survivors of domestic violence in particular, it's learning to listen without judgment. And it's hard to do because we all go in with, you know, an opinion, right? We go in with a thought. It may not be a big negative opinion, but you know, you go in sizing people up, right? We all do. Mm-hmm. And I try my best in my prayers, in my intention, in every part of my being to let that person's story live and let me be a listener of that story, or in the case of the talk show, a facilitator of them being able to share their story.
I want to go back just a little bit, because there was a time, like you kind of talked about, there was a time you went in one day, thought you had a job, the next day you didn't. And there was a period where you we're unemployed. Mm-hmm. I feel like a lot of people find themselves in those situations when they have to leave a job and don't really know what to do with that in-between time. Mm-hmm. How did you, from somebody who started working at 14 years old, how did you navigate that time and how did you stay resilient to be able to get your own
talk show TV?
Like that is, that's huge. But like, what did you do?
Well, I fell in love for the first time in my life in a very substantive way where I decided it was time for me to explore marriage. I was never anti-marriage, but I also wasn't like in hot pursuit of it either.
Yeah.
This
was in the in-between time.
Yeah, 2019. Oh, wow. I broke up with my employer, I guess that's the way to say it. And I was invited by Clive Davis to come to his Grammy party. And I jumped on a plane. I didn't have anything else to do. Jumped on a plane and ran into my husband, who I'd known, you know, like kind of surfacely, and started chatting through this weird circumstance there. And we just kind of kept in contact. And I had time, right? I had time to vacation. And I'd never taken a vacation longer than 5 days in my life. So now I had an indefinite vacation. I thought about motherhood more, and was that an option once we met each other and had a very honest conversation about like, okay, if we're going to see each other, these are the things I'm thinking about. Not necessarily things I want, but these are things I'm thinking about very seriously about my journey. And then also I went on to, thankfully, because of the way that the situation ended at the Today Show, people wanted to book me to talk about being resilient and getting up and my journey. So I was on the speaking tour for like 2 years, but what it gave me was an opportunity really to start taking notes on what people were asking me in conversations. And so I built a lot of that first season off the things that people were talking to me about. Late to the party mom at 48 years old. How was I keeping my confidence and resilience? How did I build this business? How did I stick to myself and my guns? I'm building the show. So I made those topicals in the show. But most of the time, honestly, it was the first time in my life that I was able to say, my work does not define me. Mm-hmm. When I was 18 years old, I got a book called A Path of Light. And it's not even in publication anymore, but I got it when I was 18. And the book had a passage about who are you if there's no title underneath your name? If your blank card, your business card just says your name, who are you? And I got that book at 18. I'm now fired at 45, 46. All of those years, I carried that book around and the meaning of that finally mattered. Mm. I needed to put it in use that day in that moment. And that's why my confidence stayed high. I started to draft out what I wanted next, this talk show. And I didn't want to go into meetings just saying a talk show. I had a very specific idea for the talk show. I knew I'd done the work. So I would study, honestly, I would go on YouTube. I'd study old talk show sets. So when I was going into the room, I'm like, I want my chair this close to that chair. And this, I wasn't just like, oh, great. I want to talk to some people. I had very specific ideas about the color, the lighting. I had different talk show moments that it resonated. So I was dogged about how I was presenting myself in this idea because I didn't want anyone to think, oh, she just thinks she's coming in and she wants a talk show. I came in an executive producer of a talk show.
I love that.
And that shook up a lot of the executives that I was meeting with.
I feel like there's been times in my life where things have been slower and I feel like I've gone both ways. I've let it get me down. And then like right now it's actually busy, but I've tried to allow myself to have some space. I feel like when you create some space for yourself, that's when the real visions can kind of come. 100%. Because like, if you were going at the speed that you were going on the Today Show, would you have really had the time to really fully understand exactly what you wanted and have such a clear vision? And I think for a lot of people, you know, when we think we have to be at this like 90 to nothing speed, yeah. But really like you have to have the space to to be able to let that, like, what do you actually want? Are you just going through the motions?
You have to lose to win.
Mm-hmm.
Right. And it's, that's the thing. And you have to find comfort in being uncomfortable. I tell people all the time, you know, when I was a reporter in Dallas, Fort Worth, 4 years there, it became like this itch to move on. Right. And I learned then that for me, I believe God makes it just uncomfortable enough for you to have the itch to go on. Because if you get there and it's so comfortable and it's so amazing, you're never going to go to the next step. You're just not. So that I love discomfort, because mm-hmm. that usually is telling me there's something else. There's another thing for me to do. And that doesn't mean I need to stay busy all the time. It doesn't mean I need to, for example, I have no desire to ever climb a mountain. I'm not that uncomfortable. Yeah, so it doesn't mean that you just got to start making a list of things you were trying to do. No, thank you. But the discomfort will lead you to the things that will inspire you. You know, this is a journey. This life, it's a beautiful thing. And just as I said, when I wrote the book, your life is a book. It's a journey. And you can't be in a hurry to rush it to the end, but you also don't want to be stuck on one page.
Yeah. Right?
And that's what I love about life. And that's what excites me about everything that I do. You know, when I wrote this crime novel, I was so insecure. I didn't study like the talk show. I studied and I had all these ideas of, like I said, I was executive producing my talk show from day one. I didn't study other thriller writers. I didn't try to really obsess over it because it was such a leap of faith. I was like, this book is inspired by things I've actually done. This book is, you know, Jordan Manning is her 30s. And there's a scene in this new book where she's just been out like kicking butt trying to solve this crime. And she goes on a date and the guy asks her what she did. And she's like, oh, I just went to some flea markets looking around, because she's shrinking herself down because he thinks she's a workaholic. And he thinks that she's never going to be ready for a family. And that's where his head is. And rather than her saying, this is what I did, and wanting his support, or saying, if he's not going to support what I do, kick rocks, she shrunk herself down to become this perfect little, you know, date that she feels that he's looking for, because she doesn't want to be alone. And so those were all important beats of her. She's not just this, you know, crime fighting, you know, somersault, you know, action character. She's a 35-year-old woman who's asking herself, I love my work, but would a chance to be in love be more fulfilling? You know,
yeah.
Her friends, you know, one of her friends is getting married and she's got anxiety about the fact that she is the bridesmaid again, and she has no date for this wedding, while also, you know, being consumed with this huge case in front of her. And that's the irony of life, right? Think about yourself, and I'm sure anyone listening, how many big things you have going on in your life, but a little love string might be pulling your heart, or a little, you know, where am I? Who am I supposed to be? You know, pulling at you. And she, through this character, I was able to reveal a lot about what it was like for me as a journalist, with a little fiction tied in, because I'll tell you, I'm not jumping into any dark rooms to bust anybody. But it was a big, big jump for me because I hadn't done it. You know, I'm in my late 40s and now I'm 53, just finishing this one. And I wanted people not just to hear that I've written a book or a novel. I wanted them to see again through me that opportunity that we all have to keep writing our chapters, keep front of mind that we're going to be afraid, but don't let fear hold you in place. Don't let it put you in a complacent space. And that's what this book was for me. It was a chance to step out from the success that we're having with the talk show and say, like I did when I was going through the many, many rounds of IVF, you know, there's so much more to this journey. Let's see how it goes.
I really am so excited about this book, but I'm also curious, what made you have so much going on,
yeah,
and taking on writing a book is a massive take on for someone. What made you want this to be the next way that you kind of diversify your career?
You know, I thought it was the thing that I found most exhilarating. It's the thing that made me feel most vulnerable. You know, I'm not going to be a singer, so you will not be getting any albums from me. I just found it, when I looked at the things I'd like to do, it was the thing that scared me most. But I thought it was also something that people didn't expect. You know, I've been approached about memoirs and beauty books and inspiration, you know, journals and things of that nature, which I figured there'll be time to do. Mm-hmm. But this thing, you know, when I went in to pitch this book, and there were publishers who wanted to meet with Tamron Hall, I'm sure they had their ideas, preconceived notion, going back to what you asked me earlier, of what Tamron Hall was going to pitch, right? And then I say, well, I've got a crime thriller with this character, Jordan Manning. Her name is taken from Michael Jordan and Peyton Manning. She's in her 30s. She's a mess over dating. She and her friends love nothing more than a good red bottle of wine. And but yet she has this overwhelming desire to find justice in the cases that she's reporting. And they're like, wait, what? We weren't expecting that. We thought, you know, a late to the party mom book or something. They didn't know. But thankfully, every publisher who heard the pitch wanted to buy the book. But it was, and it's still very, you know, I'm so happy that the first book was so, had great reviews and folks loved it. But I know that every day I am battling the perception, right? Mm-hmm. And of what I do, of what a woman does, or, you know, wait a minute, is it good? How does she have time? I saw her on a talk show. I saw her on this. Did she really put her name on that, or did she really do it? And that's fun to me. It's fun to show people that you can commit. But as far as time, as I said earlier in our conversation, I am at the journey of prioritizing and perspective. And I don't give too much energy to things that don't require it. I still get my sleep. I meditate 2 times a day. I do transcendental meditation. Great. I carve out, you know, those times. I think if anyone is lacking everything, it's part of my poor husband who asked for date night last night. I was like, I'm too tired. But I am really in the perspective. My husband says, don't put a 20 on a 10. You know, don't put, you know, if something requires a level 2 reaction, don't give it a level 10 reaction. You know, and I'm learning that. And that allows for me to have more time. Mm-hmm. Things that I want to do. This weekend, me and my son, we're going to go to see the Harlem Globetrotters. And then the next day, we're going to go to the Barnum Bailey Circus. But during the week, it was just a lot of home time, quite mm-hmm. honestly, because of work and his school. But it's putting things in perspective. And that's my advice for women, people in general right now. It's, what is your ability to put what's important in perspective and your reaction to the things that are not important? Put it in mm-hmm. perspective. What can wait? What will be okay on the back burner?
That is something I really need to hear, because I can get so overwhelmed by the to-do list. Because I'm trying to learn how to, like, look at each thing on the list and the importance of when it needs to get done. How much time do I need to spend on this? And, like, for me, I have a little bit of ADHD going on. So, like, even learning to put some, like, time, like an actual timer on my phone.
Yeah.
So much time I'm spending on this today has really helped me. I've still got a long ways to go. Where are my engaged girls? Congrats. You're engaged. So am I. Now you may be like me, wondering what's next. If you're planning a wedding, the first thing you need to know about is Zola. Zola has everything you need to plan your wedding in one place, including venue options and all your vendors. Plus, you can get designs, save the dates and invites, build a free wedding website, create your registry, and stay on track and on budget throughout the entire process with their free planning tools. Zola has created everything you need to make the whole process super easy and hopefully actually enjoyable. There's even a 5-star app that helps you plan on the go or on the couch. Look, I have just now opened the can of worms of all that is wedding planning, but I'm so thankful for Zola because it can help make wedding planning so much easier for all of us engaged girlies. We need to be having fun. We need to be excited. It doesn't need to be a stressful process. And I feel like Zola can really help us engaged girlies enjoy this time of our life because we are celebrating the love that we have created and this beautiful new chapter in our life. And we do not need to be crying over napkins and invitations. So Zola's got us covered. Start planning at Zola.com. That's Zola.com. Today is about looking for new ways to better ourselves, but sometimes that means looking in a totally different place or even a different state. In South Dakota, travel is transformative. It's good for the soul. It's the kind of place to just let go, to escape from routine and predictability of life, to put down the phone and pick up a sense of adventure and to see the world a little bit differently, as in not through our screen. Life in South Dakota is about unplugging from it all and connecting with the world around you. It's about being open to real surprises and treating your senses to a real, raw, natural beauty that doesn't need a filter. Whether you're exploring the mountains and trees of the Black Hills, hiking through the Badlands, navigating the wild towns, or camping under the stars, South Dakota is the place to get a little lost and find yourself along the way. See why there's so much South Dakota, so little time at TravelSouthDakota.com. As you're talking, like a theme that I keep hearing from you is, yes, you have a lot going on, but I think a lot of people, as you said, like we can have labels put on us or put labels on ourselves. And I feel like you've taken a lot of time and are like have gone on a journey of like, you're a mother, which is amazing, but you're also this career woman. Now you're an author. You celebrate your womanhood. Like how have you found that balance? Is there a balance? How do you navigate what other people think of you and really able to be your whole self?
I think for me, you know, I don't know. I think you've heard this, I'm sure, from many other women and people. I don't know what balance looks like. I don't know what that is, right? And I'm not seeking it, quite honestly. It's like me, I'm also not seeking Bigfoot. I don't know if it exists, but I don't care because I'm not seeking it. You know, I'm not seeking balance in my life. I'm seeking perspective. As far as what people think of me, I know that my goal every day of my life is for every human being that I encounter to know that I'm rooting for them. Mm-hmm. The people that watch me on the show, I hope they know that, you know, the conversation is about rooting for people and learning at its core. And anything else anyone thinks, I can't control. That's, again, the perspective, right? The 24-year-old me or the 30-year-old me may have put a lot more energy in that answer. But here's the deal. What is it going to change, right? It's not. Yeah. So I'd rather put more energy in to different parts of the question of life and because it's not what you and I sitting here and you've endured a lot of opinions about what you just blah, 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 blah. What is it going to change? That doesn't mean that you don't care because like you're a caring, loving person and we all want the world to see us as our authentic self. So there are times when, especially season one of my show and being an executive producer, I had to make some hard decisions and it resulted in some negative press. And my mother called me one day and she said, you know, they're saying this thing about you and it's just not true. And she was crying and she was just so upset. And not crying like sobbing, like crying angry, like, this, you know, I know you and everyone knows you and this is bullcrap. And I said to her, you know, this is the game I'm in, Mom. And, you know, I know the truth and, but you have to defend yourself. I said, the universe will defend me and you'll see. Season one turns to two, season two turns to three, season three turns to the, and every change I made with the show got better. And so the questions and the doubt about, well, why is she changing executive producer again? Or why is she? Well, the proof was there. The show got better. It got more intentional. The conversations got better. And this wasn't that people were bad at their jobs. Sometimes we're not the right choice. And I have to have said that to myself, that I haven't gotten every gig I've gone for. Of course not. I wasn't the right choice, but there was a choice I was right for.
Yeah.
And so I look at life in that view. So for me, balance again goes back to my space that I'm in now of perspective. Mm-hmm. And when someone has an opinion of what I do, if it's a opinion that can help make me better, I will improve. You know, I get excited to talk to people. So sometimes I cut people off. It's a horrible habit. And it's not out of disrespect, but occasionally somebody will tweet like, you're always cutting people off. And I'm like, you're right. And I do. I'm excited. Now, that doesn't mean I can't fix it, but, you know, certain things are valid. But then there are other things that you know in your spirit and your heart don't mean or serve you.
Mm-hmm. And you don't, like you said, like we only have the limited amount of time in the day. And you can't give your time to what other people think that don't matter.
I just realized I had a really bright light where we're talking. I'm like, light's blinding me. Yeah, that's how I feel. I truly feel that way. And I think that if you're going to find your greatness, if you're going to find, and I don't mean that in this like, you know, TED talk kind of way, and no diss to TED talks, but we all have this. I mean, I'm raising a 4-year-old. So a lot of what I tell myself, I'm telling him, you know, and I see his eyes react when I'm like, that was an amazing kick. Like, girl, that kick was okay. But I'm like, you got it. Cause we all want that sensation and feeling of people rooting for us. Mm-hmm. And it's natural to a human. And we want people to celebrate our work and our decisions, but sometimes they don't.
Yeah.
And you have to put it in perspective.
Totally. I want to kind of go back to your inspiration with the new book and just the series in general. Jordan Manning is loosely based on your life and your time reporting crime. My question is, when you report crime and you like have, I mean, you have some of these really horrible truths about mm-hmm. life mm-hmm. that you experience. And I know, like, I've suffered tragedy in my life, and I know obviously you have too, with your sister's murder and case still ongoing. Like, how do you not bring that back home?
Mm-hmm. Well, first, you do, right? You know, the cases that inspired in this latest book, Jordan, is looking into the disappearance of a mother of two. Her name is Marla. And it's inspired by two real cases that I covered of two women whose lives were ended by people they love. One case was in Oklahoma, and one, she lived in Virginia, but her body was found in Michigan. And I could never shake the thought of what happened to them, and many others, right, to be quite honest with you. But those two, the case in Oklahoma happened. I covered it when I was pregnant, and she died pregnant. And that, I remember being in the audio booth reading that, and it just changed me. And then the other case was one of just great deception and betrayal. And it struck me to my core of how you can be in the same room with someone and you think they love you, and it is just an unimaginable evil. So those two cases inspired it, but you're not meant to go home and forget those things, right? You're not meant to, for example, you know, one of the things I grapple with living in New York City, and I just had a conversation. I love you for bringing out these vulnerable things, but I'll tell you, I was my son walks to school, and there is a corner where there's a person who's experiencing homelessness. Mm-hmm. And every day I'll start crying. We walk by, and I grapple with how to make sure my son is not desensitized to the fact that we walk by someone every day who was someone's child one day. You know, somebody brought that human from the hospital with great hopes and dreams and desires for them. And for whatever reason, this is where their life is. And on the other hand, I think, wow, I'm walking with him and I'm explaining to him that life is not this straight line to perfection and happiness, and trying to breathe in compassion mm-hmm. when you see someone like that. So it's a ongoing thing that I'm dealing with in my own life every day living in New York City. But with my life as a reporter, you know, I would sometimes read a script and go back and change it. And, you know, we have beautiful writers that are writing, and sometimes you get in the hunt and you write things. And I say, that was somebody's sister. Mm. That was somebody's parent. That was, you know, they'll never have a birthday or a prom. So you're not supposed to go away and forget it. You are, and that's why going back to asking why this particular book, I really wanted through Jordan to explain some of that, to in real time with writing, bring back front of mind those feelings that I had on a couple of times where I just was like, the world is shitty. You know, how can somebody do this to somebody else? You know, but then at the same time wanting to give their families a voice and giving them my microphone as a weapon of, you know, calling out truth to power and calling out the wrongs and saying we have to focus in more on these things. Like it's a whole nother podcast conversation another day, but it's, you know, you're not supposed to see a car accident and not wonder, wow, I hope they're okay. Yeah. You're not supposed to. And reporters, at least the kind that I am, I don't aspire to walk away from something and not think about it later.
One last question. It kind of goes along with what I just asked, but you know, it's an election year. You've obviously, you know, your life is dedicated to sharing stories, the news with people. It can be so negative, you know, and you can see like it takes a toll on a lot of people's mental health when they wake up and that's all they're hearing is all the bad that's going on in the world. How, like, what would you say for someone like this is your career, but like, what would you advice would you give people who are seeing their mental health being taken toll about just realizing that the world can be cruel and hard?
You know, the world has been cruel and hard since the day, you know, the Big Bang Theory happened. Yeah. You know, the Ice Age was no walk in the park. So I think, you know, the cruelty that we talk about, I'm a person of faith and that's my bird. If you hear a sound in the background, hears us talking and she wants in on this very substantive conversation. So I think because the bird is the last dinosaur and she's like, wait a minute.
She's like, I have something to say. Yeah.
No, I mean, I'm a person of faith. I read the Bible. I put it in perspective, obviously, as well, that it was written by humans. But it talks about cruelty and slavery and any of the things that you can imagine was the scour of humankind. But I think that for me, information is power, even painful information.
Yeah.
But I also think that we have to learn, and it's a progress for me as well, how to unplug, how to recenter ourselves, how to stop and breathe, how to be in awe of a flower, how to, you know, take a minute, even if you're in the car, to pull over. And just look at the sky, look at the horizon. It's, you know, drink your coffee a little slower one morning versus putting it in your cup. And, you know, I just feel that all of us are on an unprecedented mental health journey. Never in the history of the world has so much come in from so many sides. You know, I laugh sometimes. I'm watching the local news and they do a story on how bad social media is. And then they say, and follow us on da 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 da. He's like, wait. I just sat through that whole 5-minute piece on how this is bad. And now you're telling me to get on your app. You know, it's like, but I think for me, at the core of my mental health, it's my relationship with my friends and my family and present relationship. It doesn't mean hours long lunches or dinners, but it's sitting on the couch and just talking. My son, again, gives me great perspective. And recently I was trying to get him, like, trying to buy some time for something. I was like, you want the Nintendo? He's like, no. I'm like, what about TV? No. He's like, Mom, I just want special playtime. Can we build my train? Aww. Wooden train. I had tried to give him every device in the world. And he was like, no. He just wanted to sit with me and do his little train that we'd done 500 times. And by the way, I was rushed that day, but I was like, he's asking me for 5 friggin' minutes. You know, I went in, sat on the floor. We built the same train that we built all the time. And I was like, okay, Mom has to go do this really quick for work, but I'll be back. And he was just great. Because really what he wanted was just to sit down with me and have a little beat of a connection. Mm-hmm. And he wasn't get that through his Nintendo or his TV. He knew I was in a rush, but he needed that. And it didn't last forever. And I was still able to get on my meeting 5 minutes late and they were okay.
Yeah.
And I was a much better person, not just parent, much better person that he made me stop unbeknownst to him.
Yeah. Well, I love it. I mean, I think you're just like really living out what you're saying about world. We can focus on all the bad and the horrible out in the world, but it's changing your perspective of what really matters.
It's like focusing on all the bad dates and not the good one.
Yeah.
I'll leave it at that. There you go. Yeah. You gotta like focus on the good one every once in a while. Everybody, we don't need to focus on every bad moment, and you have the power to turn it off.
Yeah. But I love that you said, because I have a lot of people in my life, like, I don't watch the news at all anymore. It's just all negative. But I love you saying like that knowledge is power and it's information that you need to have some knowledge of what's going on in the world to be able to really be a part of it.
I tell people the most basic thing. Try not watching the weather and guess what you should wear by walking out. Let's see how that works out. You know what I mean? It's like, you know, we can... It has its place. I don't leave my TV on and any network and just let it roll out all day long. But I'm not a witness of life. I'm a participant. And to be a participant, you have to be engaged in news. I don't, what channels you choose, you know, I think you have to be a reasonable and discerning person because not all news is created equal. Mm-hmm. But you have to read. I think you should. Even these days with TikTok, there are some great little investigative things happening and news reports there. So I'm not all about like, oh, it's got to be this publication or that, but you have to know what's happening in the world. You do. Yeah. And that's one of the one things when people ask me if I ran a news station, what would I do? And I'm asked that, I don't know why, but people do pose this question. And I think we're sorely missing in international news. I think people should know much more, and not in this, you know, fat frenetic pace, but just globally. Even during the pandemic, I felt like, you know, we weren't seeing how other parts of the world were dealing with it and handling it. Women's rights, a lot of things that we just miss. I wish there was more, you know, straight to the point international. Yes. It would serve the world greatly, because we should know that life does not stop at the borders of our country.
Yeah. Well, I feel like you really are doing your part with what you have made for yourself with the Tamron Hall show. And I'm so excited. Like, again, thank you so much for talking about your new book, Watch Where They Hide. You can buy it today. It was so amazing talking with you.
Are you kidding me? I just love it. And I'm so impressed with these interview skills. Okay.
Thank you. I will say I was a little nervous to be able to interview
gosh.
You.
Oh, no, you did great.
I appreciate that.
Wonderful. Well, thank you. And we hope to see you on the show.
So much for listening to the episode. Better Tomorrow is produced by me, Hannah Brown, and Legos Creative. Our producer is Andrew Stalmer. Our show is recorded, engineered, and edited by the Legos Creative team. Remember to follow Better Tomorrow wherever you get your podcasts so you don't miss the next episode. And don't forget to rate and review us on Apple Podcasts. It really helps and shows your support. You can follow me on socials at Hannah Brown, and you can stay updated on all things Better Tomorrow on our Instagram at Better Tomorrow and our TikTok Better Tomorrow Podcast.
Walmart Plus members save on meeting up with friends. Save on having them over for dinner with free delivery with no hidden fees or markups. That's groceries, plus napkins, plus that vegetable chopper to make things a bit easier. Plus, members save on gas to go meet them in their neck of the woods. Plus, when you're ready for the ultimate sign of friendship, start a show together with your included Paramount Plus subscription. Walmart Plus members save on this, plus so much more. Start a 30-day free trial at walmartplus.com. Paramount Plus, essential plan only. Separate registration required. See Walmart Plus terms and conditions.
Time for a quick break to talk about McDonald's. Mornings are for mixing and matching at McDonald's. For just $3, mix and match two of your favorite breakfast items, including a sausage McMuffin, sausage biscuit, sausage burrito, and hash browns. Make it even better with a delicious medium iced coffee. With McDonald's mix and match, you can't go wrong. Price and participation may vary. Cannot be combined with any other offer or combo meal. Single item at regular price.